What if we're just a bunch of absurd people who are running around with no rhyme or reason?
But if there is no...
Deadpan.
Well, then life has no meaning. Why go on living? Why not just commit suicide?
Well, let's not get hysterical. I could be wrong. I'd hate to blow my brains out and then read in the papers they found something.
Boris, let me show you how absurd your position is. All right, let's say that there is no...
Deadpan.
And each man is free to do exactly as he chooses. Well, what prevents you from murdering somebody?
Well, murder's immoral.
Immorality is subjective.
Yes, but subjectivity is objective.
Not in any rational scheme of perception.
Perception is irrational and implies immanence.
But judgment of any system or a priori relation of phenomena exists in any rational or metaphysical or at least epistemological contradiction to an abstract and empirical concept such as being or to be or to occur in the thing itself or of the thing itself.
Yeah, I've said that many times.
Boris, we must believe in...
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Metal Asylum. Hey, welcome to Deadpan number 117, which in Roman numerals reads as VXKFQZ, which incidentally is worth about 126 points as a triple word score in Scrabble. I'm your host, Jack Mangan, aka Wilma Flintstone's Vibrator. Thanks very much to Kurt, aka Dirt McGirt, for that excellent Woody Allen intro. And thanks to all of you who've contributed content, and I'm going through the backlogs. I actually have not received anything at all recently, so please get me some content. Send me stolen lyrics, random thoughts, the contents of your refrigerator or your junk drawer or whatever. Or as I say, I've been saying, I think some of you guys are holding out on your dumbass memories. Anyway, this episode here is going out on January 21st, 2009. The date is of no real historical significance, other than the fact that it's one day after the inauguration of President Barack Obama. Which means that this morning I woke up with all of my money gone from raised taxes, all of the terrorists set free from prison, all of my guns taken away, and a gay husband named Andrew. If you're listening close to this episode's release date, then you've already been inundated with Obamadacity, so I'll spare you yet another long-winded rant or bizarre poem. If you're listening in the future, you know whether he lived up to his hype and big words and big expectations, or whether he was just another used car salesman. For me, right here in January 2009, you know, on one hand, he has a lot to live up to. On the other hand, all he has to do is be not Bush. I'm going to answer that phone call. Hello?
What is Wander Radio? Well, Wander Radio is music.
Am I forgiven? Are we all?
Interviews.
Or my laptop in the back of my truck. The original idea of the website was going to be a hodgepodge of a bunch of...
8 or 12, 15,000 words, something like that, to the ending of the book to make it actually...
Genesis of the theater idea came from a woman I met at church, actually, who said, you got to go talk to Bruce Christopherson.
Dramatized short stories.
16 pieces at the time.
The planchette moved downward for a moment and returned back to...
You can read my thoughts?
Yes.
A ratcheting, clicking sound distracted me, and I turned my eyes to the kitchen table where Bobby Jr. rapidly loaded the shotgun.
For a variety of content, check out Wander Radio 109.9, almost on your radio dial. And if your radio just doesn't happen to get that far, try wanderradio.com.
You
are listening
to Jack Mangan's Deadpan.
We are Deadpan.
Deadpan
is the way.
I weep for you people.
Mr. Mangan. Hey, I talked about Red Bull Cola on the message board, then I was looking at the ingredients more closely after I finished off the can. I was getting ready to throw it away. It's actually pretty interesting. It lists absolutely everything, unlike Coca-Cola, where it's just says some has flavors and it's a secret recipe. So here you go. The contents of Red Bull Simply Cola. Here we go. Water, sugar, carbon dioxide, natural flavor (parentheses caramel), natural flavors from plant extracts, and here's a parentheses with lots of stuff: galangal, vanilla, mustard seed, lime, cola nut, cacao, licorice, cinnamon, lemon, ginger, coca leaf, orange, corn mint. That's two words in one description, not corn and mint. Corn mint, pine, cardamom, mace, and clove. And then lemon juice concentrate and caffeine from coffee beans, it says very specifically. I don't know what makes that different from, synthetically derived caffeine. I assume it's more or less the same stuff once it's all distilled out of coffee beans. But they're making it sound all natural, nothing artificial. So there you go. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey there, this is CJ, and I am calling in because I just saw the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still. And I just wanted to give you a few comments about it, since I know that some people have been talking about it over there on the board. So first of all, Keanu looks great. He always does. It's my opinion. Live with it. Jennifer Connelly, absolutely beautiful. Phenomenal. Kind of on the thin side, though, a little scary. Will Smith's kid, you can't get cuter than that. The movie itself, pretty darn boring. I have to say that I was looking at the time to see when it was going to be done. And the message, that Hollywood is pounding home to everybody, save the Earth, be good to the planet. And you have to wonder just how much destruction was done to the planet during the making of the film to tell us not to be bad to the planet. Like the movie WALL-E had the same, message, we're destroying our planet. But at least WALL-E was a cute movie and fun to watch and really not nearly as boring as this, adventure. So, yeah, that's about it. The big giant robot guy was pretty cool. I liked that. Gort. Yeah. He was, that was like an acronym for something. I don't know. It had a robot in it. And, he's kind of like a transformer because he transforms into, bugs. It's kind of cool. Anyway, other than that, yeah, it was kind of boring. So I'm going to go have a drink now. And y'all have a great day. Bye.
Nobody loves you. But don't feel special. Nobody is a dirty, dirty whore. This is Marlo Diane, and you are listening to The Deadpan.
So, in honor of Obama's coronation and canonization, let's talk about the N-word. Nice, that N-word. For too long, those of us who've been dismissed and rejected with this N-word label have suffered and toiled beneath the aggressively oppressive regime of the douchebags. No more. I have been to the mountaintop and I have seen the other side. I have a dream that one day my children's children will play nicely and show consideration for each other on the playgrounds, and that when they carry this considerate, humble, polite, kind nature into adulthood, their peers and their society will not punish them for the goodness of their nature. That society will no longer reward the douchebags for being douchebags, but will recognize the virtues of a man or woman who bears consideration for their fellow humans' feelings and goodwill in all of their actions. Now, I don't mean the excessively accommodating pussies, or those who are timid and unassertive to a fault, those who refuse to pursue their desires and goals in life. I mean the brothers and sisters worldwide who take no joy in causing harm or distress to others, whose kind natures prevent them from uncalled-for, rude, or disrespectful actions, who are inclined to generosity and helping, who are unwilling and unable to punch out an old lady during the Christmas sales rush in order to get the last discounted knick-knack, who recognize that after 35,000-plus years of evolution, we should stop scrabbling and greedily bullying the other cavemen for that last scrap of meat, and live as considerate, conscientious, polite, empathic, sympathetic, good people. as liberated nice guys and girls out from under the thumb of douchebag oppression. Henceforth, we'll be NWAs, nice with attitudes. We'll revitalize the 90s catchphrase, mean people suck, and make it a worldwide code, a new mantra for a new age of true politeness and consideration. And when a douchebag cuts us off in traffic, we will not sigh at the rudeness and crappy behavior. We will smile, knowing that the douchebag's days are numbered, that they are on the wrong side of history. And finally, when someone tells us as individuals that we're too nice, we'll no longer take it as a put-down or a criticism. We'll know that the problem is with them, not us. Because we'll live in a world where niceness is no longer equated with weakness. Where we'll recognize that honest, legitimate consideration and selflessness and caring require far more courage and guts than animalistic self-serving inconsideration. The nice guy is the real tough guy. Not the bully, not the mean kid, not the stone heart, not the Lex Luthor, not the self-absorbed douche. I'll tell you that boy, the team, tell it. Clark Kent is mild-mannered, but he can also kick your ass. And he has x-ray vision to see right through you, right down to your naughty underwear. In this new world, we'll recognize that kindness and consideration and empathy are the only ways to a deep, profound, legitimately happy and functional society, as well as the only ways to an enlightened, happy life. As opposed to the system in place now, which has been in place since the dawn of history, which is set up to reward the cold and the calculating douchebags who will step on their fellows on their way to the top of the corporate ladder and the top of the playground slide ladder and their relationship and high school clique and highway lane and mammoth carcass and supermarket checkout line on the way toward achieving their superficial rewards and fleeting joys. Be strong and patient and persevere, my considerate brothers and sisters. After tens of thousands of years, the days of the douche are finally numbered. We shall overcome. If only.
You are listening to Jack Mason's Deadpan. We are Deadpan. Deadpan is the way.
Last time on The Questers from FPM, Rhea, Amy, John, and the rest of their questing party had just left the home of Andrea and Hugh, where they had spent the night. John had read from a magical book of wisdom called The Tomb of the Sophia Pulchra during the night, and had woken up speaking in nonsensical phrases. He was going to develop a magical power eventually, but no one knew what kind. The party had just said goodbye to their hosts and were setting off down the road again, in search of garlic salt and the friend they had come to the underworld to visit.
All right, and before we get started with that, I just want to jump in and say that thanks to Amy for this, and it's actually a lot of fun, a lot of very funny little moments, a lot of clever little moments, and a lot of excellent voice performances. So, you know, I'm excited and thrilled to have this here. And also, I was going to tell you who called before was Lee Whiteside, my homeboy Lee Whiteside. And so on January 22nd, it turns out I will be making introductions for, I don't even know who yet. I'll get my roster tomorrow. I'll be making some introductions at the local Phoenix Cactus Comic Con. So if you're going to be there, if you have a pass, then I may see you there Thursday evening. If not, then I expect I'll see you there sometime over the weekend. This is, you know, breaking news here. And of course, it's going out on a podcast, so you might be listening in 2053, going, you know, who cares? Anyway, yeah, just chew on that thought for a minute, listening to this episode in 2053. On with the Amy.
The Questers from FPM. A serial. By Amy Bowen. Episode 3. The Lost Traveler. The gothic mansion where the seven questers had spent the night was now out of sight behind them. As they were making their way along the road, a figure approached them from the opposite direction. They were pleasantly surprised. Until now, they hadn't seen any other travelers here in the underworld at all. The figure proved to be a man wearing a faded black traveling cloak, black pants, and a yellow tunic, with a matching yellow headband with black dots. He was walking toward them at a moderate pace, looking around from time to time as if confused. "Greetings and well met, fellow traveler," said Amy, when she came within easy speaking distance of him. "Do you have a moment to stop and chat?" The man looked startled.
"Sure,"
he said. Both he and the questing party came to a stop. "I am Amy Bowen, Chief Ambassador of FPM. These are my friends, Rhea, Ed, John, Joe, Wanderwolf, and Jeremy. May I ask who you are?"
"My name's Ralph. You may have heard of me."
"Ralph? As in Lost Ralph?"
asked John Bowes.
"That's right."
"Hey, John!"
exclaimed Joe.
"Welcome back, pal."
"Was I gone?"
"You were not yourself for a while this morning. After you read from the tome of the Sophia Pulchra,"
explained Wanderwolf.
"You do remember reading from the book last night, right?"
"Yeah. Is that why this whole morning feels like a dream?"
"Yes, it is. I'm glad you're all right."
"Thanks, man."
John turned his attention back to Ralph.
"So, are you really the lost traveler with all the legends and stories about you?"
"I am."
"It's such an honor to meet you. I am a bard, so I perform songs about you all the time."
"Do you tell the truth?"
"Well, I tell the truth about the Midnight Band being after you, if that's what you mean."
"Yeah, that's what I mean. And kudos to you for that. There are some so-called bards who don't."
"There are? That's just not right. What do they say about you? That you set the map on fire just to be selfish, so that no one would ever be able to find the Golden Tiger Scroll?"
"Right in one guess. It's not true. You know that, right?"
"Yes, I do. What you did was the only thing that made sense. If the Midnight Band had gotten their hands on the map, they would have gotten powerful enough to take over all of Kushami."
"Absolutely. The most irritating thing about that other version of the story is the gaping hole in the logic. Thanks to the curse, I never did find my way to where the scroll was hidden, so I can't have been trying to keep its secrets to myself."
"I bet it was the Midnight Band who started the rumor that you burned the map out of selfishness."
"That's what I think, too. It's so good to meet an ally."
"Excuse me, Mr. Lost Ralph?"
said Rhea.
"I hope you don't mind my asking you this, but I'm curious. What does it feel like to fall under a curse?"
"Nothing, actually. It happened exactly the way the songs say it did. As the map was burning, it spoke to me, yelling at me for destroying it, and telling me I'd never find my way anywhere again. The magic didn't create any sensation or anything. I didn't feel any different until the first time I tried to get somewhere and got lost. It was jarring. That was when it hit me that I was going to be like this. Forever."
"That is an awfully long time."
"Yeah. I think I've started to get used to it, though."
"Well, with that much time on your hands, have you thought about taking on a mission? Oh, wow, like insulting everyone in the whole universe in alphabetical order. Or, you know, something like that, except maybe more constructive."
"Well, I do make it a habit to give some of the food I carry with me to anyone who gives me directions."
"Where do you need to go? I'm the guide on this quest."
"You don't know the power of a
deadpan.
Something, 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 something."
Nipples. Metal Asylum. All right, don't lose your place in the Questers, Episode 3. We're going to do some quick Greasy Spoon comments, which is random comments selected off of the Deadpan comments page. There are five, count them five, for tonight. The first is SB, who says, "Sounds great, hotties. Did anyone catch Bishop Gene Robinson on last night's The Daily Show?" The Smarty Hotties says, "Must see movies? Please excuse the jumping around of genres here. Not sure if your friend is really girly, but there are several hardcore chick flicks in here," smiley face. "So I Married an Axe Murderer, Joy Luck Club, Princess Bride, Hotel Rwanda, Dead Man Walking, Sid and Nancy, Blood Diamond, Fried Green Tomatoes, Gone with the Wind, Real Women Have Curves, Steel Magnolias, Bend It Like Beckham, Thelma and Louise. There are several war movies I'm trying to think of, but the names are escaping me. Not sure if that would be her cup of tea, so I will let it go for now." Amy Bowen says, plus and I, parentheses, after quotes, LCMOD, close quotes, close parentheses, plus a closing HTML tag after quote, spots, close quotes. The Energizer Bunny says, well, Pan, lunch is eaten. Gaming has been canceled for tonight, parentheses, can't access our road, close parentheses, and cookies are in the oven doing what cookies do, which I assume is screaming horribly, as I know that's what I'd do if someone put me into a hot oven, smiley face. And the fifth and final of the week. Ed from Texas says, speaking of cons, dash, there was brief discussion about deadpan swarming some poor, unsuspecting convention this year for a big meetup. Does that have any chance of becoming reality this year?
You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. We are Deadpan. Deadpan is the way.
Can you tell me where to find the nearest gateway back to the living world?
Of course! We were going to use that gateway ourselves, but then Jack Mangan showed up and transported us here after we told him about our quest.
That sounds like him, all right.
Oh, do you know Jack?
Asked Ed.
We've crossed paths. The other day, I wandered into the stockroom where he keeps the souls he collects. We chatted about immortality and other things.
What was the stockroom like?
Idyllic, if you're a pan. It's a giant, spotless white room with nothing but rows and rows of padded hooks on the walls for the pans to hang on and rest.
Oh.
If I may ask you, what is your quest?
We're here to find a friend of ours and ask her how to communicate and build trust and cooperation with the people of Padango. We're all from FPM, and our countries are allies now, but we need her knowledge to maintain that alliance.
Also, his name is Ed, and his favorite color is red.
What about you? Did anything in particular bring you down here?
No. I just found myself here after getting lost again. It's not the first time. Oh, Rhea. May I have those directions now, please? I'm sorry. Sometimes even my conversations wander off track.
Almost everyone does that sometimes.
Sure. Three commands, right?
That's right. That's one of the rules of the curse.
Okay. Here we go. Follow the road you're on now for 7 miles in the direction you're already going. When it forks, turn left. Then follow the cobblestone path on the other side of the river. Do you have money to pay the ferryman?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Here you go.
Ralph removed the large pack from his back, pulled out 2 loaves of bread and 2 sticks of butter wrapped in wax paper, and held them out.
Who's carrying the food here?
I guess that'd be me. Here, I brought a bag with me.
Ralph handed Joe the food, and he put it away. Hey, is that regular food that you brought with you from the living world?
Yes.
Great! Now we have something to eat with our underworld garlic salt. This is perfect!
We still need to find the garlic salt, though,
said Jeremy.
Do you happen to know where we might be able to get some, Ralph?
Yes. I just passed a marketplace called the Centaur Court. Back that way. Judging from the things people were carrying out of it, they have just about everything in there. It's inside a walled enclosure with a statue of a centaur over the gate. Why do you need garlic salt in particular?
We're all infected with undead microbes. It's a long story. Jack told us that the only way to disinfect ourselves was to eat some of the garlic salt of the underworld on regular food.
How nice of him. Good luck on your quest, and thanks for all your help.
Thank you for the info, too.
It was an honor to meet a fellow warrior whom I respect so much. Sometimes I wonder what the world would be like if you had managed to grab the Golden Tiger Scroll.
We'd both know a lot more fighting techniques. I take it you're the main guard for this party?
Yes, I am.
You certainly look up for the task. Fight well.
Thanks. You too.
Do you really have to keep going? Why not come with us?
Trust me. You don't want me to. If I ever travel with anyone, the curse extends to them. I doubt if even your guide's expertise in magic could counteract it.
Oh.
Well, I'm glad we met you. Fair travels to you, Lost Ralph.
Fair travels to you, friends.
The travelers resumed their journeys. Ralph was now looking forward to getting out of the underworld, and the others were looking forward to finding the marketplace. You have been listening to The Questers from FPM, a serial by Amy Bowen. Thanks to J.R. Murdoch, Paul Mackey, Justa Joe, Jack Hosley, Rhea, a.k.a. the Energizer Bunny, Ed from Texas, and Chris Kolisch for contributing their voices to this episode. The songs heard in this episode were Journey's End by Guardian Mind Mix and Candles 2 by Jack Mangan. The former is available at the Podsafe Music Network.
Deadpan is the way of sexual intercourse with someone's maternal progenitor.
If you are one of the self-absorbed, unkind douches, then it's okay. We'll forgive you and let you into the future with us. We are the nice, considerate ones, after all. Our only requirement is that you change your ways. Make a sacrifice for someone, sometime. Be considerate of someone else's feelings, sometime. Put someone else's needs ahead of your own, sometime. And the cases where you do put your own needs first, I mean, it happens, it's allowed. Be polite and conscientious about it. If necessary, and if it's with someone close, then acknowledge the fact that you put your own needs first on this occasion. Plan to make it up with a kind or selfless act on that person's behalf sometime in the near future. And this should go without saying, the selfless act must be done for its own sake, out of genuine desire to do the right thing, not in order to make a shallow stage performance of goodness or caring. It's the first lesson all of your kids' shows and hopefully your parents taught you growing up. Be kind and considerate to others. If you, the douchebag, cannot abide by these rules, then you'll go back to being shunned, along with the rest of the Paris Hiltons and Ringo Starrs and Derek Jeters and other pod-tainted, self-centered assholes of the world. 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664. If you got something to say to me, say it. Or send me an email, sphericaljackm@gmail.com. Right, and Metal Asylum. I didn't just develop Tourette's. Metal Asylum is a friend of mine from back in New Jersey. He has a website called Metal Asylum. And I believe it's at metalasylum.net. Metal Asylum, Metal Asylum, Metal Asylum. And it's actually Rich Catino, who was, you heard his guitar work in a couple of the songs with Matt Mango, including Our Love is Fading and Spirit Man, and some others, I think. Anyway, I've written some reviews for my friend Rich on his website, so I guess I'm a full-time, or I don't know, I'm a reviewer for metalasylum.net. That's what the fucking point here is. Good Lord. Anyway, so go, feel free to go over and check it out. I've written reviews for CDs so far from the band F5, the band Closer, or Closer, I don't actually, and the band Joe Town. All right, that's all, that's the big news. All right, I'm unofficially announcing this week. I will officially announce it in a future podcast, but start reading the Watchmen graphic novel. This is going to be our next Palooza. Sorry to, you know, go all control freak and egomaniac. Sorry to take the reins here, but it's an awesome piece of literature that's about to be made into a film that's coming out very soon in early 2009. And I think even if you're not much of a reader, it's in comic book format, so it won't take you too long to get through. Really, it will take you about a night to get through. So check out the Watchmen graphic novel. It's available at the library and book retailers everywhere and comic book retailers everywhere. And if you say, oh, I don't read comic books, then trust me, this is, without overhyping it too much, one of the great pieces of literature of the 1980s. And all right, I've babbled long enough and you've listened to Deadpan long enough. There's a lot of good content still in that backlog, but I would like you to contribute stuff and fill it up. And I already gave you the contact info, so I'm not going to continue babbling. Going to find some music for you and bail. Thank you again for being a great community and for being a lot of fun. And I appreciate all of you. To symbolize our hopes of a restored economic future, let's do a comment goal for next week and let's make it 401. All right, I'm not coming back after the music. I'd introduce it, but I'm not even made my music selection yet. Deadpan is the way. Be excellent to each other. Good night, Green Eggs and Ham.
She's getting fuck-fucked by the family dog.
No. That's not...
Sitting for this microphone, don't know what I'm doing. All the destiny, radio in ruins. I'm a feature of audio, radio is the past. Tell people what I do, say what the hell's a podcast. Just make sure that you download my latest episode. Deadpan is way to me, are you listening? Yeah! Podcast killing the radio star, first podcast I spoke. I just hope that this pays off, and I'm still fucking broke. Deadpan's a motherfucking way. Flashing neurons at your desk. Tell me, are you listening? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Happen to know where we might be able to get some, Ralph?